We're reading from the passage of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. One of the things that I love and I appreciate about this passage is that it speaks of the quality of Jesus's love for me and for you. And so as we read this passage, I want you to think through that reality. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God.
I want to begin by wishing you a Merry Christmas. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here and happy to be sharing with you today. Earlier in our service, I appreciated Luke's encouragement to be a people of invitation during this time of year. And certainly as we organize our Christmas Eve, and I encourage the joining in, of course, of our Christmas Eve service, I imagine our community being very creative on who they will watch the service with and perhaps who they will meet up after watching our service. What a beautiful time of year to be a people of invitation. Well, certainly, we've all been looking for things to do this last little while, and our family would be no different. A few weeks ago, months ago actually, Lauren and I put our bikes in our car and we headed into Vancouver. We pulled our bikes off the bike rack at Locarno Beach and we got up and on Beachside Trail. I love the trail. And certainly on a sunny day, it really is one of my favorite places to be, biking the trail along the ocean. Kitsilano, I think of Point Grey, and of course, you eventually on that trail catch up to Granville Island, and it's hard to drive by or bike past Granville Island. We made a left turn, and before long, we found ourselves in the public market heading to two of my favorite places, J.J. Bean Coffee, and of course, Lee's Donuts. What a beautiful pairing on a beautiful sunny day. Coffee and donut in our hand, we pushed our bikes out towards the pier to enjoy the pairing and to watch the water taxis. Well, everything was good. Good company, good food, and a good view. Little did I know that there were some looky-loo seagulls that were enjoying what we were enjoying. In my right hand, with my coffee pushing my bike, I had a very unsuspecting Lee's Donut on full display in my left hand as I walked to the end of the pier to look at the water taxis. I had no idea that the sounds of the squawking seagulls in behind me would soon be making their way towards my donut. I had no idea. As I found myself in a very unsuspecting place, I noticed and found and experienced the snatching of my Lee's Donut right from my very left hand. All I felt was the snatch, and then I saw my donut leave. It just left, never to be seen and not tasted by me again. I'm still upset. I can't believe I got tricked. What was important to me got snatched. My concern this year is that Christmas and the experiences that God has on his mind for you and for our community could very easily get snatched away. It could very easily get taken away from us. I referenced this last Sunday during church at home, but I'm not hearing this messaging directly. Perhaps it's in behind some of the messaging that I'm hearing today, but I'm hearing the encouragement to lower expectation this Christmas. Just settle in and settle down. There will be other Christmases in the future. Friends, nowhere in Scripture does God ever ask us, regardless of the year, to lower our expectation of Him, and certainly of Him at Christmas. Certainly. We are rather encouraged to increase and anticipate all that God has on His mind for us. I was with someone recently, and their comment was this: "Yeah, I have no idea what is on or off right now." And friends, as cheesy as this may sound to you, I want to say to our Living Waters community, Christmas is on this year. Christmas is on. And perhaps this particular Christmas, we are more perfectly positioned to understand and experience in a new and a fresh way what the truest meaning of Christmas is, which is what? Finding thoughtful ways of thanking God for the sending of His Son and opening up our hearts in new and fresh ways for Emmanuel, God being with us this year. This is certainly some of the underlying interests of the prayer found in Ephesians chapter 3 from the Apostle Paul that we've been considering this month. So thankful for Ricky and Rochelle and Rachel and Luke that have been sharing with us earlier this month. We are learning of the blessing and opportunities that come to those that simply allow Emmanuel, that simply allow God to be with us. In this text, we find ourselves this month, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, we see the gospel in full view, in full display. God giving to us, grace expressed through generosity that you and I are to personally benefit. A reminder again, these three verses begin and end with the words "then." I think of them in some ways as prophetic promises. Verse 17 says, "Then Christ will make His home in your heart." Verse 19, the end of our text says, "Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." This is God's big idea. He is sharing this large invitation to us this year. God's saying, "This is what I plan to do. This is what I have in my mind and in my heart for you." Friends, this is what God's generosity is all about. We are not His personal projects. We are His people. We are children of God, whom He seeks a relationship with to richly bless and to miraculously benefit. So as we've heard these last few weeks, these two prophetic promises kind of bookend two things that God has in His mind. And then within, we see two asks of God from us. And they're found in verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, "May you understand." And verse 19 says, "May you experience." Here we get into some things that need to be on our mind, knowing the bookends or knowing what is on God's mind. So let's look at this a little more specifically. Verse 18 says, "May you understand as all people should." Man, this reminds us, like straight up, that we may not understand. This understanding or this education has two diplomas. The first one is to know God's love. And the second educational diploma is to know that you need this and you need this relationship. So as we consider, of course, this time of year, the Christmas story, we see that this Christmas narrative is, is simply ordinary people coming to an understanding or catching up to Emmanuel, what God was doing, that God was with them. Really, Christmas is about God on the move. This is why even this year, 2020, we need to increase our expectation, for God is on the move this year. That first Christmas, God on the move, God sending his son, the manger being the place to receive the arrival of God's big reveal. People seeing God for the first time, and most importantly, understanding that God was now in their midst. What a beautiful narrative of understanding. And so from the birth to his death and even his resurrection, everybody catching up to this God that's on the move, Emmanuel, God with them, trying to figure this all out, trying to understand. Think about Mary and the understanding she found. From doubting and questioning to Mary singing in Luke chapter 1, "Ah, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices." The shepherds getting there. In Luke chapter 2, from fear and unfamiliarity in the fields to glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard when they met Jesus. The wise men coming along, initially with the question, "Who is this King of the Jews?" to eventually bowing their knee with gold, frankincense, and myrrh and saying, "That truly is the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world." We can name many more, the 12 disciples, the 70, the 120 in the upper room, those who caught up to Jesus, the healer, the Roman soldier at the foot of the cross, the one suspended on his own cross to the right of Jesus, making right decisions at the end of his life, saying, "Truly, I understand. You are Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Son of God." And so Paul's prayer is necessary today. May you understand. May you understand God's love, and may you understand that you need it. Well, that's been my prayer these last few days. There's always been questions that surround Jesus. A few days ago, I was at Shoppers Drug Mart in Walnut Grove on 88. Turned the corner, saw the full display of magazines, and what caught my eye, even in some way, brought a little bit of a tear to my eye. There in the midst of this full display of all the popular magazines, attracting people's attention to this and that and the other thing, there, in full view, it caught my eye, three popular magazines where Jesus's picture or portrait is very much right there in the front. Life magazine, I think of specifically, this full picture of Jesus with the caption underneath, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, that question started way back in the Old Testament. That question surfaced at Christmas. And wow, imagine Christmas 2020, Shoppers Drug Mart. Busy place to shop, large display of all that the world has to offer, and there's Jesus. I was so glad to see the picture of Jesus in the midst of Christmas advertising this year. Again, it continues to beg the question, who do people say that I am, is the question that Jesus still has in front of us here today. In response to that, Mary sang a beautiful song, as I mentioned in Luke chapter 1. So if you were to sing a song about Jesus, what would you sing about? The shepherds and wise men worshiping in Luke chapter 2. What simple things would you add to the story if you were singing to Jesus, if you were bowing your knee, if you were telling your friends, what would you say about Jesus? The Apostle Paul, from non-believer to believer, to someone who wrote letters and someone who taught. If you were to be writing a letter today about Jesus, what would you say? If you were to be teaching a lesson about Jesus, what would you say? Who do you say that I am? So Paul's prayer here about the need for us to understand who Jesus is and to understand that we need that Jesus is so appropriate this Christmas. It's so good to answer the question that Jesus asked. So, who do you say that I am? Paul continues again, these bookends and then these two centerpieces to this text is, may you experience the love of Christ as Christ makes his home in your heart. So understanding and experience. Spiritual formation happens through understanding and experience. It's twofold. And God knew that human experience is so important for spiritual formation. That is why God sent his Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel, all about understanding and experiencing a living God. So from understanding to experience, I pose another question today. What has been your experience of Jesus? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 reads this way. For a child is born to us and a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end, and he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Isaiah 9 helps us understand that and hope to experience God's counsel, God's strength, God's parenting, understanding and appreciating of God's eternal plan for your life. The rule of peace in a life and experiencing the benefit of God's passionate commitment to you. So here we see bookended. This is what God has on his mind. And in the middle, two things for us to get our lives around, understanding and experience. For then Christ will make his home in your heart, and then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Tells us that without Christ, we're incomplete and will not be complete until we know God's fullness. Perhaps these words, complete and fullness, are really not words that we typically use, but yet properly placed in Scripture. Let's consider being complete. Unless Christ is the one that completes us, we are left incomplete, trying to pull things off that we will never be able to pull off. We were never meant to be anything more than needy in the sight of God. I seek often to look to friends and family. We date, we marry, we count our money, we find recreation, we buy things, we look to our jobs, attempting to make our life complete. Well, none of these things are wrong in themselves. They are all what I think appropriately are to be called subplots. Every movie has a plot, a main plot, and a subplot. And so while none of these things that we acquire and achieve are wrong in themselves, they are to be called what they are. They're not the main plot and not to be the main narrative, because they certainly don't make us complete in themselves. Only Christ can do that. Outside of a relationship with God, you and I will carry a frustration, perhaps even a sense of brokenness and ill repair, until we find our completeness in Christ. For life without Christ is somewhat settling for a wilderness kind of living, and will always involve a certain sense of being disconnected to something, a sense perhaps of living as an outsider, someone who looks at the party but never attends. Friends, we have to know. We have to know. This is part of our understanding and experience. We have to know that without Christ at the center, people and things may complement our lives, but they will never complete us. For unfortunately, many of the things that we look to complete us, we consume, or they actually consume us. So how does God complete us? Well, the passage answers this. God completes us through the fullness he offers. This fullness is what Paul is describing and what the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, the wise men, experienced. Fullness happens when our need and God's supply come together. This is the gospel. For every person on the earth has a great need, and God has what they need. And so God's completing us involves his recreative work and his generosity. He recreates us. This world at one time was complete, was experiencing the fullness of God, didn't need reconciliation, didn't need repair. But so many years out from the Garden of Eden, after the fall of man, we see a tired and aging world. And now generation upon generation, we see our world, people in this world needing help. You and I needing help. I need his help. You need his help. Our world needs to be reconciled in relationship to God and to one another. And so do we, day in and day out. So God's recreating involves getting back to God what is rightfully his and seeking from God the repair of a relationship with God that's very, very often broken. God completes us through the fullness he offers of his recreative work and his generosity. The word generosity references the furnishing of an empty room. And so often our hearts and our minds are empty of understanding and experience. God fills it up with all good things. With this beautiful invitation, why do so many people never get there? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 speaks of that, for it says, but you are restricted by your own affections. This word restriction literally means narrow or hemmed in. These are the people that are not receiving all that God has for them because their hearts are restricted, closed off from all that God has to offer. This is why God is often referred to as the one knocking at our heart's door, because that is what he's doing. Where the battleground is, where misaligned affections lie, God is saying, I want to come in. I want to make my home in your heart. I want you to know my fullness. See, many people live their lives with small, narrow hearts. And what happens when your heart and your life is like that, your world shrinks. And it often becomes about you. Man, and over time, that becomes so small and becomes so limiting. It gets tired real fast because the narrative that you and I are called to was never meant to center around you or center around me as a person. This is why God sent his son, Jesus, because the world was missing something, a larger narrative. The world was missing out on a healing and a wholeness and an opportunity to become complete and to know a fullness that was not possible outside of a relationship with God. Someone to live for and something to live with besides ourselves, so that the world would know of a joy of getting caught up in a love story that is about a God who loves the whole world and who loves you and has a great plan for people's lives. That's a larger narrative that we open up our hearts to as Christians. Friends, if his fullness is going to come to your home this Christmas, come to your heart this Christmas, we have to open up. We have to open up. We have to imagine and make room so that Christ will make his room in our hearts. We need to make room for Emmanuel, God being with us and wanting to offer us completeness and fullness. I think in closing of the children's story, the Grinch that stole Christmas. Do you remember the story? We just watched it recently. The Grinch's heart was two sizes too small. And after his quote conversion, his heart grew three times the size. Friends, Christmas is on this year. God is on the move, and he's moving towards you. And my prayer for you this year is that your heart would grow 3 times the size. May Christmas and what God has for you not be snatched away, but rather, may you receive all the full benefit of being on God's mind and within God's reach this Christmas. God wants your heart. He wants you to understand and experience Him. Just as Luke said last week, both the manger and the cross are empty. And that same Jesus today is knocking on the door of your heart. And my prayer for you this day, as you would say, yes, Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, come, make your home in my heart. Let's pray. God, today, thank you. Emmanuel, God is with us today. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of God that works within our lives today to increase our understanding of who you are and appreciating the need that we have when we think of you. We thank you for the experience of Christmas, and we open up our hearts afresh to that beautiful promise today that you draw near as we open up our hearts. So I pray, Lord Jesus, come and move across all the homes and all the places of meeting today that are represented. Be our Lord, be our Savior. Come into our hearts afresh, Lord Jesus, today for your glory and for our good benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.